grace this morning to encounter the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Let us prepare our hearts and minds to worship this day. Good morning. It's good to gather in the Lord's house this cold, wet, winter's Sunday morning. I'm glad that you decided to join us for worship this day. And for those that are joining us via Facebook Live, thank you for joining us this morning. If you're joining us via Facebook Live, I encourage you to go to our website at www.fbc-elon.org and to pull up our worship bulletin for today. Use that as a resource for our worship, but also for ministries coming up in the life of our church. For those that are gathered in our sanctuary, we got lots on the left, we got lots on the right, and not so many in the middle. So for those sitting in the middle, thank you. Because when I look out, I get to focus on y'all. And worship with the choir when y'all go out there, sit in the middle. Okay. But anyway, it is good to gather in the Lord's house this day. If you're a guest with us, thank you for joining us. You'll fill out a visitor's card in the pew so we can have that and have a record of that for your visit with us this morning. So also we can get in touch with you later this week. This afternoon, church council will meet at 4 p.m. upstairs in the Truth Seekers classroom. If you are a ministry team leader, please make sure you're at this meeting. If you cannot make this meeting, please have someone on your team come to that meeting so we can share what's going on in the life of our church and as we plan for the upcoming months here at First Baptist. Also, a reminder to our adult Bible study. We will meet tonight at 5 p.m. That'll be from 5 to 6 p.m. immediately following church council. Again, that'll be upstairs in the fellowship hall. And anybody is welcome to come. We've been having some fruitful conversations over the last couple weeks as we've been using Andy Stanley's book, Irresistible. So I encourage you to come out from 5 to 6 this afternoon. I think it's still supposed to be raining, so it's not going to change much of the day. So come out this evening from 5 to 6, or you can join us on Facebook Live as well. We are streaming that Bible study from 5 to 6 p.m. This evening. Senior adults, just a reminder, this Tuesday you're going to meet for lunch at K&W at 11:30. Anybody that wants to come is more than welcome to. All you have to do is meet them at the front door, and that's where the group meets, and then they enjoy their time of fellowship together, so I encourage you to do that. We'll also have a team that's going to the Golden Year Senior Center again on Tuesday to play bingo with the group there and to also celebrate birthdays. If you're interested in that, participating, maybe it's not this Tuesday, but an upcoming Tuesday, I encourage you to talk to Sandy French. She is kind of heading this up, and they enjoy their time with the residents over there, and it is well worth your time. If you have something to place in the upcoming newsletter, the February newsletter, make sure you communicate that to Janice either today by email or tomorrow. She'll be working on the February newsletter in the coming weeks, and specifically this next week. And our hope is to have that coming out to you by the end of this next week. Also, many of you have stopped as you've come in to pick up your contribution envelopes for 2022. If you have not picked that up, the record of what you've given for this past year, I know we use that for tax purposes, those envelopes are in the box on the table. So as you leave today, if you have not checked already, make sure you do so and pick that up. Last but not least, in a couple weeks, we will be celebrating with a wedding shower for two of our young people, Daniel Cudwell, who's right behind me, and Maria Manis, who's over there in the corner over there. They are getting married in March, and it's going to be a wonderful celebration here at First Baptist. But we're going to celebrate with them a little bit early by having a wedding shower for them. The Truth Seekers Sunday School class is sponsoring this shower on Sunday, February. Yes. Sorry, New Beginnings. I wrote the wrong thing down. The New Beginnings class is sponsoring this. my bad. On Sunday, February 19th, that shower will actually take place at 9 a.m. prior to Sunday school that day. We won't have prayer time that day, but it'll take place at 9 a.m. There is going to be a continental breakfast. Right? Continental breakfast? Okay. That continental. So eat at home first and then come nibble afterwards. Continental breakfast that morning at 9 a.m. But we look forward to celebrating with this young couple, and we know it'll be a special time in the life of our church, not just on that day, but coming up in March as well. Now we gather here today as we welcome our Heavenly Father to worship this morning. Let us lift praise to Him as we sing to Him this morning.
Y'all couldn't hear what Kathy said back here, but Kathy said they're having cereal. No, I'm just playing. excuse me. My ears don't work well. She said eat your cereal and then have breakfast here. A song that we're getting ready to sing this morning is one we haven't done in a while. It's called Come Thou Fount, Come Thou King. Let's stand, let's worship together.
See?
may be seated. And maybe we need to practice that a little bit more.
It just proves that we're not perfect people.
That's right. Amen to that.
Our opening scripture reading this morning comes from Psalm 27, reading verses 1 through 9 this day. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When evil men advanced against me to devour my flesh, when my enemies and my foes attack me, they will stumble and fall. Though an army besiege me, my heart will not fear. Though war break out against me, even then will I be confident. One thing I ask of the Lord, that is what I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to seek Him in the temple. For in the day of trouble, He will keep me safe in His dwelling. He will hide me in the shelter of His tabernacle and set me high upon a rock. Then my head will be exalted above the enemies who surround me. At His tabernacle will I sacrifice with shouts of joy. I will sing and make music to the Lord. Hear my voice when I call, O Lord. Be merciful to me and answer me. My heart says of You, seek His face. Your face, Lord, I will seek. Do not hide Your face from me. Do not turn Your servant away in anger. You have been my helper. Do not reject me or forsake me, O God, my Savior. In the midst of that psalm, many reasons of why we come to encounter God. And we each came to worship this morning for some reason. Maybe it's to lift up worship to the God who deserves it. Maybe you're struggling with something. You're coming to find a dwelling place, a shelter in Him. Maybe you have questions that you seek to be answered. That's where we go to Him and He answers them. Whatever has brought you to worship this day, know that He knows and that He will answer your call. Let us go to the Lord in prayer this day. God of light, we come tired and weary, carrying many burdens. We come wondering if You are even here. We come seeking Your face, seeking Your love in this moment. Holy One, open our hearts to the mystery of Your love. Remind us that You are always with us and that You never leave us. Reassure us that You love us, even as You invite us to love one another. In this time and space, this hour, may we say yes to You. We lift this prayer in the name of Jesus Christ, the light of the world, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who've trespassed against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Our offertory hymn this morning is Shine, Jesus, Shine. Let's worship.
Shine upon us.
be seated.
At this time, I want to invite Amy Harrison to come forward to share two opportunities we have in our ministry to Reedy Fork Elementary School.
Good morning.
Good morning.
We have clubs at Reedy Fork, and one of them is called the Gentlemen of Reedy Fork. We also have a Ladies of Reedy Fork group, but the gentlemen are the ones that really need our help. We have 12 boys that are learning etiquette, and we're going to have an end-of-year banquet in April so that they can apply what they've learned in their club. But we want the boys to dress up, and a lot of them don't have the clothing that we would like them to have so that they can dress up. And so I'm here to ask you to help us to get some sports coats for the gentlemen so they can dress like young gentlemen. We will be sharing the cost with our families. I don't know how much yet. We're still doing some research and hoping that we can partner with some clothing stores to get that cost down, because they are a little bit of expensive. So as soon as I know those costs, I will let you all know, and I will make something so we can see our progress and see how we are helping our young gentlemen. The other thing is, our PTA is wanting to offer our teachers a duty-free lunch. Right now, our teachers have to eat with their students, and sometimes they don't get a break at all because specials are taken away or they have meetings during their planning time. So our PTA is asking for volunteers to come once a month on a Friday to monitor children during their lunchtime so their teachers can have a break and have adult conversation away from the children. You can sign up for 1 hour shifts. Our lunch runs from 10:30 to, I believe, like 1-ish. And but to come and volunteer at the school, you do need to do a background check. And that background check is on the Guilford County Schools website. And if you need some help finding it, or you need some help doing it, I don't mind helping, like before Sunday school or between church and Sunday school, or any time that we are having some fellowship time in the church. And I just want to thank you for your support with a school that does not have a very active PTA. It means the world to us that you all are helping by giving coats to our kids at Christmas, sending lunch to us when we have to stay there until 8 or 9 o'clock at night. So thank you so much from me and from the staff at Reedy Fork.
Thank you, Amy. Two wonderful opportunities to help out at Reedy Fork. When it comes to the young men that are a part of this club, again, there's 12 that are participating this year. And once we get the exact cost on the coats, we will share that with you. But maybe somebody's willing to say, hey, I'll get a coat. I'll sponsor one coat. And if we have 12 people who do that, then it will be reached. That's a simple way that we can help. Also, again, if you're able to help out on Fridays, please talk to Amy. She'll give you more details about how to go about getting approved through the school system. It's not a hard process, but it can be done quickly, and something that we can help the teachers out as well. Now, at this time, I'll call on Susan Reinheimer to come forward for our offertory prayer.
Let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for this day and the opportunity to gather together today to worship you. Lord, just every night we hear of the evil acts done across our nation, and we ask your strength and peace for those injured and for those families of those killed. We pray that you will help us reach out to our neighbors with love and kindness and show them your love through us. We know you can defeat evil, and help us to have strength to work beside you and show your light in the darkness. For those on our prayer list, we ask for healing and strength. Help them feel your presence as they meet these challenges. Now please bless our offerings and show us how best to use them to serve you and spread the word of your Son's saving grace so all may believe in you. In your name we pray, amen.
Thank you. Thank you, worship choir, for our beautiful special music today. And as you can see, you can never be too young to join the choir.
Amen.
Let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning as we encounter God's word this day. Let's pray. Jesus, you are the light of the world. Shine your light in us today. Chase away the darkness of sin, the darkness of fear and doubt and despair. Produce in us the fruit of righteousness, the evidence that your Holy Spirit lives in us and works through us. Make us a shining example of your amazing grace, redeeming love, and life-changing power to this world that is in desperate need of it. May others be drawn to you through our ministry and through our faith. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Again, let me say good morning. Thank you for joining us for worship on this winter Sunday morning. As I got up this morning and as I start to hear the raindrops outside, I was reminded that, you know what, Wednesday we had 70 degree weather with sun shining and then 40 degrees and rain. God is an amazing God, and is a wonderful way He has challenged us with His creation. This morning, we will continue the sermon series that I started last week, titled Sayings and Signs in the Gospel of John. Last week, we began our journey through the fourth gospel by looking at Jesus' first sign or miracle, changing water into wine at the wedding feast in Cana. As we continue our journey over this time period, which will lead us all the way up to Holy Week, our hope is to encounter Jesus in a more intimate and powerful way as we proclaim Him, not just on Palm Sunday, as we grieve His loss on Good Friday, and then we celebrate His conquering the death of sin on Resurrection Sunday. This morning, we look at the first I am saying or statement that we're going to look at. I am the light of the world. But before we turn to our scripture, one of the first things that pops in my mind when I think about light is light bulbs. Placing light bulbs throughout the house. As soon as you replace one, you got to replace another. And I know everybody's looking up at the ceiling and saying, well, how many light bulbs do we have? Yes, we're constantly changing the light bulbs in the sanctuary as well. But a question for you. How many jugglers does it take to change a light bulb? One, but there have to be three light bulbs to do it. How many evolutionists does it take to change a light bulb? Just one, but it will last and take about 1 million years. How many psychiatrists does it take to change a light bulb? Only one, but the light bulb has got to really want to change. How many board meetings does it take to get a light bulb changed?
25.
That's a pretty good answer. Sorry, this topic was resumed from last week's discussion, but is incomplete pending resolution of some action items. It will be continued next week. And last but not least, how many Baptists does it take to change a light bulb? At least 15. One to change the light bulb, at least three committees to approve the change and decide on who's bringing the fried chicken and the potato salad. Now, how does this prepare us for the sermon today? It doesn't. I just wanted to say a little few jokes to make sure you're awake this morning. If you find a connection, let me know following the service, and I'll make sure I write it down. Sometimes it's good to laugh. Like we talked about last week, Jesus was a God of joy, and that brings us to joy. Jesus used the I am statements, the I am sayings in the fourth gospel to reveal an intimate part of his character. Each of us have experienced darkness in our lives. We may be facing darkness right now, and the only source of light for us is our Savior Jesus. Jesus proclaims he is the light of the world. He does this twice in the Gospel of John. This morning we'll read his first proclamation specifically. But one Sunday morning, a little boy forgot his lines in a Sunday school presentation in big church. Now his mother was sitting on the front row to help prompt him with the lines when it came up. She gestured the words and formed the words silently with her lips, but it did not help. Her little boy's memory was just blank. Finally, she leaned forward and whispered the cue, "I am the light of the world." The child beamed, and with great feeling, he bellowed out, "My mother is the light of the world." While mothers can be glimpses of the light, Jesus proclaims that he is the light of the world. What is he saying when he makes this statement? What is he revealing about himself that we can glean from this statement? If you have your Bibles, turn with me to the Gospel of John, chapter 8. Only one verse today, verse 12. Chapter 8, verse 12. Jesus speaks this I am statement in the middle of a dispute. He's having an argument. He is having with the Pharisees about his testimony and identity after he proclaims forgiveness to a woman who was caught in adultery. And these are the words he says, John 8, verse 12. When Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." To understand this statement in full, we must first look at the opening chapter in the Gospel of John. First, we must understand that the light of humanity is the light found in Christ. No other light, no artificial light. The true light that we can find is only in Jesus Christ. This was the purpose of Jesus' life when he came. Within Jesus is life. And that life illuminates our lives. It is what gives us the example, the ability to see and navigate our lives through this dark and desperate world. With Jesus' light, we can make direction. Now, I know I've used this illustration before, but I think it brings clarity to this specific point. While on maneuvers, there was a battleship lookout noticed a light far off in the dark, foggy night. After noting the light's coordinates, the captain recognized that it was on a crash course with his vessel. The captain instructed, "Signal this other ship. We advise you to change course 20 degrees to the north." The return signal that countered said, "Advisable for you to change your course by 20 degrees. Well, the captain signaled again, "I am a captain. You change your course 20 degrees. The response was, "Well, I am a seaman, second class. You better change your direction 20 degrees. By the time this happened, the captain was furious. His signal followed, "I am a battleship. Change your course 20 degrees. The reply back to the captain is, "Well, I am a lighthouse. You make the call." The light of humanity, according to the Word of God, is the light of Christ. It is the lighthouse for our lives. It is fixed. It is secure. It is unchanging. It is unwavering. It isn't like a spotlight that we get to adjust and move around to shine in the direction that we want to go. It is the light of Christ that was sent to earth, lived for 3 decades among us, died on the cross, rose from the dead, ascended to the Father, and now is the lighthouse for humanity, which guides us if we allow it to. Second, we must understand that darkness does not comprehend light. John 1:5 states, "The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." This speaks to the past, it speaks to the present, and it also speaks to the future. There's an intriguing story about a university professor. Now, I confess right up front that I don't know if this really truly happened. You see how emails get started and stories get started, but I think it's a compelling story nonetheless. A university professor at a well-known institution of higher learning challenged his students with this question: "Did God create everything that exists?" Well, one student bravely said, "Well, yes, he did. God created everything." The professor asked, "Yes, sir, he certainly did," the student responded. Then the professor answered, "Well, if God created everything, then God created evil. And since evil exists, and according to the principle that our works define who we are, then we can assume that God is evil." Now the student became quiet and did not answer the professor's hypothetical definition. The professor, being quite pleased with himself, boasted to the students that he had once again proven that the Christian faith was a myth. But another student raised his hand and asked, "Well, may I ask you a question, professor?" "Of course," replied the professor. The student stood up and asked, "Professor, does cold exist?" "Well, what kind of question is this? Of course it exists. Have you ever been cold?" The other student snickered at the young man's question. But the young man replied, "Well, in fact, sir, cold does not exist. According to the laws of physics, what we consider cold is really the absence of heat. Every body or object is susceptible to study when it has and transmits energy. And heat is what makes the body or matter have or transmit energy. Absolute zero, negative 460 degrees Fahrenheit, is the total absence of heat. And all matter becomes inert or incapable of reaction at that temperature. So cold does not exist. We have created this word to describe how we feel if we have no heat." But the student continued, "Professor, does darkness exist?" Well, the professor replied, "Of course it does." The student replied, "Once again, you're wrong, sir. Darkness does not exist either. Darkness is in reality the absence of light. Light we can study, but darkness we can't. In fact, we can use Newton's prism to break white light into many colors and study the various wavelengths of each color. You cannot measure darkness, though. A simple ray of light can break into a world of darkness and illuminate it. How can you know how dark a certain place is? Well, you measure the amount of light that is present. Well, isn't this correct? Darkness is a term used by man to describe what happens when there is no light present. Finally, the young man asked the professor, "Sir, does evil exist?" Now, uncertain, the professor responded, "Well, of course, as I've already said, we see it every day. It is in the daily example of man's inhumanity to man. It is the multitude of crimes and violence everywhere in the world. These manifestations are nothing else but evil." To this, the student replied, "Evil does not exist, sir, or at least it does not exist unto itself. Evil is simply the absence of God. It is just like darkness and cold, a word that man has created to describe the absence of God. God did not create evil. Evil is the result of what happens when man does not have God's love present in his heart. It's like the cold that comes when there is no heat, or the darkness that comes when there is no light." The professor sat down and was stunned. The young student's name was Albert Einstein. You see, darkness does not comprehend the light because the two cannot mix. Think about it. How do you mix darkness and light? If you bring light into the darkness, it is no longer dark. Think about a cave. If you've ever been in a cave, we took the youth to a cave some years back on a fall retreat, and everything was pitch black in one of the rooms. And then all of a sudden, there was light, and the whole room shined. Think about another professor and student encounter in Scripture. The professor was Jesus. The student was Nicodemus in John chapter 3. Jesus taught Nicodemus not just the most known scripture of all, John 3:16, but also that darkness does not comprehend light. It is repulsed by it. Why? Because it knows that light exposes it and eliminates it. You can't have darkness where you have light. Darkness is, in literal terms, the absence of light. And that brings us back to John chapter 8, verse 12. An incredible example of light exposing darkness. These scribes and these Pharisees and people that were in the crowd are all good and ready to stone a woman for her sin. They have caught her in sin. They know the law. A plus B equals C. Adultery plus the law requires stoning. But then they make a mistake of asking the light of the world what they should do. And the light of the world exposes their darkness. Listen to verses 7 through 12 this morning. When they kept on questioning him, he straightened up and said to them, "If any one of you is without sin, let him be the first to throw a stone at her." Again, he stooped down and wrote on the ground. At this, those who had heard began to go away one at a time, the older ones first, until only Jesus was left with the woman still standing there. Jesus straightened up and asked her, "Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you?" "No one, sir," she said. "Then neither do I condemn you," Jesus declared. "Go now and leave your life of sin." And then back to our verse. When Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." But this is what I want you to make sure you're sure about on this one simple verse in the Gospel of John. The church today so often gets only half of the message from this verse. The catch of all what Jesus says, he says, the light of the world provides hope. Jesus turned and spoke to them again. He wasn't just speaking to the woman who had committed adultery, the one that had been brought before him. He is speaking to them again. Apparently, the people have dropped their stones and left, but not everybody had left. Jesus is alone with the woman, but not exactly. Verse 12 seems to indicate he is speaking to a crowd of people. And this was directed specifically to the scribes and the Pharisees. And what does he tell them? Yes, you have sinned. Yes, the light of my life exposes the darkness in yours. So you can't throw a stone because I am the light. And my light speaks to your darkness. But you do not have to walk in darkness. He said you don't have to keep following the path that you're on. There is hope. You can have the light of life if you will just follow me. You see, through the years, the church has specialized in a message of guilt, sin, and shame. And the light that Jesus doesn't overlook, he doesn't overlook the sins and the wrongs in our lives and the church's life. But it does offer hope in the walk in this light. The church is not supposed to be a talking head to the world, pointing out everything that is wrong, but not doing a blasted thing to protect or provide any kind of hope or solution. True light does not just point out darkness, it provides escape from darkness. And that is what the church is. Did you ever think about that? Did you ever picture the church as being an escape from the darkness? The church is called to reflect Christ's light in the world. It was part of the plan all along that the responsibility of serving as light in this world after Jesus ascended into heaven was that the church would be a reflection of that light. So my question to you is this, as individuals and as a church, are we reflecting His light? Or are we reflecting some artificial light? In closing, we are to be the sons and daughters of the light. According to Rick Warren, there are two basic reasons people don't know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. One, they have never met a Christian. And two, they have met a Christian. Think about that for a minute. If you ask a whole bunch of people who aren't Christians why they aren't, many will answer that they have met a Christian and have not seen the light in them. We're called to be children of the light. There were two cars waiting at an intersection. The light turned green, but the man who was in the front car did not notice. There was a woman who was driving behind him, watching as other cars were passing by them, and she begins yelling at this man, pounding on her steering wheel, but the man does not move. The woman is going literally ballistic in her car, ranting and raving at the man, continuing to pound her steering wheel. Then the light turns yellow. The woman begins to blow her car horn, flipping him off and screaming curses at the man. The man, finally hearing and seeing the commotion, looks up, sees the yellow light, and accelerates through the intersection just as it turns red. The woman is beside herself, missing the opportunity to go through the light. Still in mid-rant, she hears a tap on her window. And she looks up to a barrel of a gun held by a very serious police officer. The officer tells her to cut off her engine, get out of the car, and place her hands on the top of the car. She complies, speechless to what is actually happening. She places her hands on the car roof and is, in a chain of events, is handcuffed, placed in the back of the police car, and bewildered by it all, she can't even ask a question. And she's taken all the way to the police station, fingerprinted, photographed, searched, booked, and placed in a cell. And she is silent. So So a couple hours later, the officer who had arrested her approaches the cell and opens the door for her. She is given her personal effects, and the officer says to her, "I am really sorry for this mistake, ma'am. But you see, I pulled up behind your car while you were blowing your horn, you were flipping the guy off and cussing a blue streak at the car in front of you. But then I noticed on the back of your car a What Would Jesus Do license plate holder, the Follow Me to Sunday School bumper sticker, and the chrome-plated Christian fish emblem on the trunk. So I naturally assumed you had stolen the car." As Christians, we must accept the challenge of being children of the light. And it's not easy. It's not easy. Jesus never ignored the adulterous woman's sin. He just offered her the hope of light in this world. That brings it squarely to us. If you are trapped in the darkness this morning, Jesus Christ is the light for your world. He can bring hope in the darkness, no matter what you might be facing. If you are guided by the light already, be a reflection of this light, His light in this dark world, because we are in desperate need of it. Not a judging, ostracizing, and condemning light, but a light of hope, a light of direction, and a light of promise. You've been charged to be a light in your home, in your workplace, in your school, in your neighborhood. And if you are not sure how, just follow Him. Let Him be your guide. He will provide direction. If you've fallen towards the darkness once again, know that Christ is ready to light your candle once again. He is here, shining light into the dark. But the decision is yours. You can reflect whatever you want to reflect when you walk out this door. Do we remain in the dark, or do we walk with the light of the world? I know what He hopes you choose, and I know what the world needs you to choose as well. Let's pray. What a powerful image that you shared with the world to be the light of the world. So much darkness. But all that we need to do is see a little glimmer of who you are. And when we do, our life is changed forever. When we're seeking direction on where we're going, Father, may we not turn our eyes the way we want to go, but may we follow the light that you placed in our lives, because guess what? We don't know who or what we may encounter, but you do. You do. You are the light for our lives. You are the light for this church. You are the light for the Christian church universal. And we're called to reflect that light. And if we do what we're supposed to do, my oh my, how the world will change. It all begins with us, each of us individually. In the Lord's name we pray. Amen. Today, you may recognize for the first time that Jesus is the light of your world. If that's where you are this morning, you are in a wonderful, wonderful place. I encourage you to come down front. Let me talk to you about what it means to continue to follow Him. Maybe you're right now going through a dark time. Things are overwhelming you. The world is overwhelming you. And you recognize that the light is just there. All you have to do is follow. All you have to do is reflect it. Come down front. Let me talk to you about the darkness. Let me also talk about the light. If you're looking for a church home that's seeking to reflect that light in this world, that's what we're called to do. That's what we're challenging to do. That's why we help with Reedy Fork Elementary School. That's why we reach out to the university. That's why we help people who come by the church on a weekly basis asking for food. That's what we're called to do. We're called to reflect that light, and that's what we're seeking to do here at First Baptist. If you want to be a part of this family, come down and talk with me about what that means. Let us stand this morning and sing, and let us reflect on who God is calling us to be. place today be a reflection of the light who is the light of our lives, Jesus Christ. The world needs to see it. Be that person in the world this week. Go in peace.